You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
It is the holiday season.
The holiday season.
It's the holiday season. Everyone should go and watch National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, no matter what.
Good choice.
What you believe in. It's just a fun movie. But we're going to give away some things. Thanks to our buddy Dave Castillo and our friends over at St. Vitus. But here's the rub.
Yes.
It's not a New York giveaway.
No.
It's a Central New Jersey all the way down to Philly giveaway.
Jersey Shore. Yeah, let's go.
Shore Core. So we have two shows that we're giving away a pair of tickets to. So the first one is, and I may come down for this, Bob. We may have to get some tacos.
Yeah, let's go.
January 13th, Saturday, January 13th, 2024, in the year of our Lord. At Salty's Beach Bar in lovely Belmar, New Jersey.
Shout out Salty's.
Salty's, formerly known as Paul's Tavern.
That's right.
Prong and Life of Agony.
Oh.
How about
that's pretty that? Good. That's a good show.
For our listeners, and I think there's many who haven't given Prong a shot, it's it's very hardcore adjacent at this point. Like very, whatever that is, distant adjacent. It did not start that way, and you would immediately gravitate towards the early material.
I feel as though we're the most positive prong positive podcast out. So
yeah, you know, mid period prong is, as they say, chef's kiss. It's fucking great.
The first like three records are pretty great.
And I go into four. So there you go.
Do you go into snap your finger, snap your neck?
I do. It's WWE entrance music for sure.
It totally is.
But it is the best in show.
Pat's fucking yelling ECW while it's playing. So we're gonna resurrect an email address for this to happen. How's that?
Let's do it.
Because I don't have. We'll come up with a better way to do this next time. Yeah. But if you want that pair of tickets to go see Prong and Life of Agony at Salty's Beach Bar
on
January 13th, 2024,
ooh,
in Belmar, New Jersey, which is soon, which is crazy. 2024 is here. The first person to email us your full name to A2G Pit Report at gmail.com, we'll get you those tickets.
Hell yeah. A2G Pit Report at gmail.com.
Tom, maybe we'll put this. Pat, can we put this in the description?
We'll hit it in the notes. Yeah, we'll put it in the notes.
Yeah, just say,
even if we just put that in there for good. Like I would also like some more. What, Pat?
Send it to me. Pat? I'm going to struggle to remember that.
Good Lord, do we need to like? I'm going to like bring you to a hospital when you get here and be like, just check this guy's head.
Ginkgo Balboa.
Ginkgo, not Balboa, just no. Balboa.
They sell that on the counter at the convenience store. You can get it at the gas station. You're good. Tom, do we have anything else to give away?
We have a second
what?
One to give away.
What?
It's the holiday season. Friday, February 9th, 2024, at Salty's Beach Bar in Belmar, brought to you by St. Vitus. We got a pair of tickets to go see Scarab, Simulacra, and My Dude's Incendiary.
Ooh.
Same thing. First person to email us at a2gpitreport@gmail.com. I'll get just with your full name. We'll put you on the list. And
what's the date on that one again? February
9th. It's a Friday.
Friday, February 9th. Incendiary, Scarab, Simulacra at the one and only Salty's Beach Bar in Belmar, New Jersey.
Which has become the spot.
It's the spot. Shout out to the dude, Swank. Appreciate you. Love you. Everyone, get your free tickets. Let's go.
When it rains, it pours. Snooze all clock. Look back and laugh. Whoa!
Welcome to Axe to Grind, the Hardcore Podcast. I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
And I'm Tom.
Gonna be talking some hardcore today, fellas.
talking. Shout out to our sponsors. I want you each to give me a... Oh, Jesus, you fucker. If this fucking microphone... give me a noise... Or you know what? Pick a word that comes to mind when I say these labels. Thank you to Run for Cover Records.
Peach.
Expansive.
Thank you to... To Live a Lie.
Kamikaze.
Fast.
Thank you to Closed Casket Activities.
Metal Against Metal.
That's a good one. I was thinking Shoveling Dirt.
Ooh. And thank you to Convulse Records.
I was thinking a battery on the back of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Whoa.
Tom? I'm sticking the Rocky Mountains.
hell yeah. Shout out. Sorry about that Chiefs loss, Convulse Records. We are very thankful to all our sponsors who help us keep this podcast as minimally advertised-y as it could be. Working on that in the new year as well. We'll see what we can do.
Fucking CBD, fucking cheeseburgers, whatever.
Yeah. Jammed up your ass. Let's go and everyone give those labels respectively follows on social media. Go to their websites, check out their info. They're all releasing cool new stuff. Do yourself a favor and keep up with it. I can't explain how easy it is, even just with a narrow window of a few labels, small handful, you can keep up with a lot of the goings on in this ever expansive world of music. So check them out.
We have a beautiful cross section.
Oh,
this is hard. Like this is actually like what's going on in music today. We have a representative of each of the pillars.
This is a fucking fellowship of the hardcore. You know what I mean? Like, and my axe. So, here we go. Follow them all. They won't drive you down to Mordor. Let's go, guys. How you doing? How you feeling?
I'm good. Patty.
I feel great. Can I just kick something off real quick?
Please do.
How much do you like incidental straight edge?
Elaborate.
You know, dudes that have no contact to subculture and are just by nature strange dudes that like they don't know what straight edge is. They just, at age 13, they just said, I'm never doing that. Or they never said that. They just, every time it
never occurred to them. Yeah. The good friend, One Life Rob, as we called him, who had his favorite bands were Creed, Limp Bizkit, Blink 182, no interest in hardcore or punk. Great guitar player, no interest, like zero. We called him One Life Rob. Did not drink, was also somewhat militant in his accidental straight edge views. So shout out to him.
It's a type of dude that I just love because, you know, if you're involved in the subculture long enough, you see a lot of people kind of try on identities. It's part of the maturation process from young person to adulthood. And you can get kind of jaded, right? Like, you know, when a young
straight... Like that Aerosmith song, yeah.
Yeah, like Aerosmith. And when
the one who jaded you.
When a young straight edge band pops up, it's easy to be a little dismissive, you know? So I love the just by nature strange person. And I just wanted to read this one to you real quick. This is a guy who... I don't know if YouTube Shorts doesn't have enough content or something, or maybe didn't have enough content, but they kept suggesting this one dude to me who covers things I don't care about, and it just keeps manifesting. He covers like, you know, Jason Momoa does want Amber Heard on the set of Aquaman 2, this type of shit, right? And he's obviously strange, and he leaves these elaborate posts on YouTube, like the community posts. And in this one, he's talking about why he doesn't drink or drug. And I just thought this part was super fascinating. For my dad, it was pills and caffeine. Caffeine, in my dad's late 30s and 40s, he became addicted to Red Bull and Monster, where he'd drink roughly 5 to 15 of them a day. He never would stop and viewed it as almost this cool thing to do, saying this is what kept him practicing medicine so well. The result was that by his early 50s, I noticed his feet became purple. He had a bad cough. And when I took him to the doctors, they informed him that he was in heart failure and had maybe 2 or 3 days to live.
You know, it's the laughter through the 2 or 3 days to live that really sold this bit to me. So
I just think it's so fucking crazy to like 15 Red Bulls a day. That's just going to get you. Anyway.
You know what your pee must look like?
Which fella? The fella that drink 15 Red Bulls a day?
I mean, blood red.
Tom, what's the most – do you? I never see you guys drink Red Bull. You guys fuck with the Red Bull?
Not really.
Once in a blue moon. Like maybe I'll put 2 a year, but then, you know, like last year I probably missed a year, you know?
Okay. Sure.
Yeah, I've never pounded. No matter how tired I was, I've never had more than a Red Bull.
I don't think I've ever had a Red Bull. I do love my yerba mates, though, which, of course, do have caffeine in them, probably the same as something like
that. Red Bull's vegan?
I don't know. I don't fuck with them.
Because I remember back in the day when they first started happening, like energy drinks first started happening, and they were in Europe. And it was like, oh, yeah, you can't drink those because they're not vegan or vegetarian because it's got like
pig
cow lining
or something.
Yeah, something that was like, oh, no, that's like almost like meat in it. It was like really fucked up. Yeah.
So Tom, I'm assuming you've seen this. Did this come to your airwaves down in Australia, the news of the Panera Bread lemonade?
Oh, yeah.
That killed somebody?
Well, there were some like underlying health issues with both those people anyways.
Sure.
So it is maybe not totally fair. But I will say, one, I've had that lemonade. It's not fantastic. You do feel the caffeine. Two, I believe they said it has 260 milligrams of caffeine and an espresso has like 69 milligrams. So that seems a little crazy. You know, let's all be careful out here with our caffeine consumption is the
30 teaspoons of sugar.
It's a lot of sugar, a lot of caffeine.
Wow. I'll try it.
Before we go any further, let's
10 of 10. I'll try it.
Before we go any further, cause I can tell this is going to be a silly old episode. Let's do kind of the less fun part of the day, right? And that's eulogizing in whatever limited capacity, because none of us knew him. I think I was in his presence a couple times, but that's about it. gentleman Kale from Southern California, who a lot of our listeners would know from his drumming. I'm looking at his Discogs right now. What does it include? Down Presser, Misery, a band I thought was really underrated. God's Hate, Twitchy Tongues.
Ghost Mane.
I'm sorry, say again.
He was in Ghost Mane.
Oh, right, sure.
The live band.
I think a lot of our listeners would know him from Twitching Tongues, where people were always really impressed with what he did. I don't know anything about the details of his passing, nor do I need to. It's just a really unfortunate thing that is bleeding over into our world, not just because he's a hardcore kid, but because we have a ton of mutual friends. So I'm just going to say rest in peace to that gentleman and my condolences to the people that care about him.
Yeah. I mean, hey, if your friends are hurting, you're hurting. So, you know, rest in peace, Kale. Love to all of our friends out there.
Yeah. Well said. Thank you.
We can talk now. We can get back to our
zany antics.
Regularly scheduled Red Bull talk.
Do you have one of those slide whistles? Guys, it was a busy weekend for shows here at the Axe to Grind HQ. The remote HQ, obviously, we do support work from home here at Axe to Grind Industries. You know, Tom and I attended a little event in New York that we'll talk about. Maybe I'm thinking maybe we start with the land down under. God, we need a soundboard. We need a goddamn soundboard so I can do the like do 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 do. Anytime Patrick talks, that should play. So go in, Governor.
Okay. So I attended the Drain Anxious Tour here in Perth.
All right.
The fellows from the bands got here a couple days early and saw the quokkas. Do you guys know what the quokkas are? The quokkas?
They're my favorite animal.
Are they your favorite animal?
I want to take a picture with one so bad.
Really? I think we can probably arrange that.
They're good for selfies. Can you sneak one to New York to America?
You know,
they're on an island though, right? Like they're not.
Yeah, they're on.
Are they in Australia? They're not in Australia proper, right? Aren't they like?
Well, they're just a few miles offshore. So for people that don't know,
yeah, please go in.
Vermin that are these rodents that are really supernaturally adorable.
They look like they're smiling.
Yeah, they always look like they're smiling. Although the review I got was this is from Sam from Anxious. Liked them generally. Disliked the tails, too rat adjacent. Which is true. They're very cute, but then they have rat tails. So whatever. Here's the thing. They showed up. They got sick on the boat that goes to Rotnest Island, which is just means rat nest in Dutch. So there's an island off of the coast of Perth that is kind of vacation-y, and people go there for the quokkas. Quokkas, whatever the fuck. But I went to the fellas shows to the show, and it was cool. It was honestly, it got me thinking about touring and the power of touring. Sorry to be dramatic here, not in any sort of I guess metaphysical way. What I mean is touring.
Soundboard Aladdin. I can show you the world playing quietly in the background.
Touring makes you good. The best local band that you can think of with the best players you can think of will never be as good as a mediocre band that plays 200 shows a year. The reason for that is just because it's practice. It's just your time on stage is time that you're getting better at something. And
10,000 hours, bro.
Yeah, 10,000 hours. And Anxious is now a 10,000 hour band. They are
absolutely
remarkably
no question.
Good on a stage.
Machine.
Yes.
So Sam, we've gotten his feet, his fucking, knees back, he's not yeah. in it. He's back. Did he stay fucking?
What was that? Did you say his feet are, what?
His
what
is knee.
I was going to say his feet are nailed to the ground because he can't jump. No more youth crew jumps, man.
Oh, yeah. No, he's still jumping though. But,
so we've gotten to see this a few times with bands to echo Patrick's sentiment where they were good, marginal, fine, okay, whatever platitude we want to use. And then they toured a bunch and lo and behold, they got better. And maybe it's a sign if your band tours a bunch and you don't get better, just stop your fucking band. You're done. You're toast. Yeah. But shout out to the bands who do get better. I think Anxious was a band who started with quality players doing cool stuff, and just once you hit that well-oiled machine thing, it's like, damn.
Yeah, that's right. And Drain put on the truly the rowdiest Perth show that most people I was with could remember. It was wild. They are bringing out the Wild Boys to these shows now. They have a very broad appeal. So, I watched a dude in a, like a Rage Against the Machine shirt and dreadlocks throw a pint glass over his shoulder into the pit sort of energy, which, by the way, when he threw it, I was like, there is no way that in this room of 300 people that he is that deep a sociopath. That's got to be plastic. And then one of the glasses came over and rolled by my foot and, not plastic. the glass pint glasses were going over people's shoulders. Dude, You know the guy that's injured MMA style, who does not realize he's injured and he just wants to get back in the ring, but everybody's around him going, "Oh, yo, brother, your ear has been ripped off."
Yeah, like the ref is trying to stop him, but he's like, "No, I'm cool, man."
Yeah, so there was a fella who had a pretty significant gash in the back of his head, pouring blood everywhere, but he couldn't see it. So there's a couple guys that are like, "Hey, brother, you're bleeding pretty bad. You got to get out of here." He's like, I'm fine. Let me mosh. It's very funny. I hadn't seen it in a while.
Did you get hit with the glass pint glass? Is that happened?
I didn't see that occur, but it occurred to me that it was in the part of his head that would have been difficult to hit
with the glass.
It would have been difficult to hit otherwise, because it wasn't. If you fall backwards, for example, it's easy to split the back of your head. But if you fall backwards, it's unlikely that you're going to be able to find that little area below. Bob, you have children. What's that back part of a person's skull?
The last bump.
Well, that bump in the back, that's what hits the ground and causes a concussion. Right. But the area right below that is kind of difficult to hit. It's, it doesn't make any sense, but that's where he was bleeding from. So could have been a pint glass. But at any rate, I don't mean to paint the crowd like total assholes. It was a very fun show and a very rowdy show. Drain is also now a full-on beast. I think Sammy would put himself in the same category as myself in the respect that not natural vocalists, but maybe at some point became good at playing rooms. You know what I mean? Because he surpasses me. He is just good at playing a room. He knows what the energy of the people in the room is, and he just amplifies it. Really, really good show. No brainer. The band's closed off and No Brainer opened. I actually missed closed off because their name, when I was sent the screenshot of the agenda for the day, the schedule closed off. I just figured the room was closed off for that.
Cut off. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so I did not know that was a band that was performing, but
dark stage. Okay.
But I showed up to see No Brainer, and they got a good reaction. Local dudes who a number of them have been in a number of bands. A really, really good show. As I said, the people I knew in Perth were saying it was the wildest they'd seen Perth get. So salute to those bands. The Vehicle.
And this is the second time they've been back, right? Like, I feel like Drain was just there.
In 2023, they've been to Perth, Australia twice. Let me tell you how rare that is.
Fuck.
The first time they came with Comeback Kid.
But they feel like Australia's, like, they feel like they could be on an export import list with Australia, right? Like,
feels
Californian or Australian.
Feels Australian. Yeah.
Can we give Comeback Kid their due on this? They are responsible for bringing more bands to more places than probably anybody.
Agreed.
Like, they are. Like, in their support band sort of world, they've done a lot of, you talk to kids that are like, "Oh yeah, I went there with I went to Slovakia with Comeback Kid. I wouldn't have gone there otherwise." So, salute.
Shout out. And they still do it. They still draw, man.
Yeah, they do.
And everywhere, Europe, Australia, America, like,
yeah,
they take out hardcore bands, and that's fun. Cool.
It is cool. And you can see Drain going in that direction where it's just has a broad appeal and people come out and have a good time. And it's very likely that Drain is going to be bringing bands to Perth for the first time in no time. So, I don't know. It was a cool show. Vehicle got broken into while at the show. That's not good, but
your vehicle?
No. I got a ride from.
Why do you talk like a fucking robot?
What'd I do?
A vehicle was broken into during the concert.
Drain, when he was young.
Yo, Drain's van got broken into. That's what you say. Motorized vehicle.
When I say vehicle and law enforcement, I catch myself going, "Oh no, truly, I am as autistic as everybody says." So not my vehicle, but my ride's vehicle. I went with my stepson's father, a friend of mine, and his vehicle, which is like, sorry, everybody, I'm gonna get Australia for a second.
Is it a car?
Well, let me get, it's a ute. So let me explain something. What would you guys say is the most desirable vehicle for non-luxury vehicle in the United States?
Huh? What?
Prius. I haven't really, that question doesn't even make.
Yo, man, okay. I just like trucks. Just say what you're going to compare it to.
Do you guys know what a Hilux is?
No.
Okay. It's a ute, which is what they call trucks here.
And that we call kids here.
And it's one that I've never seen in the United States. There might be a comparable U.S. Okay. version of it, but it's not popular.
How do you spell
at all.
Ute? How do you spell ute?
I don't know. It's like it's my cousin Vinny. The
Australia. Oh, here it is. UTE, Australia, truck. Okay, a ute. Yeah, UTE is how, like utility, coupe utility. Oh, okay. Yeah, I see. This is a nice looking car. Okay, I get you.
Okay. So that vehicle is like the thing that if you're like a regular ass dude, like a tradie sort of, but you make good money, this is the truck.
For right? sure.
And so it's a truck.
It's a truck. That's a ute. So a truck is a ute. This is going to be a rough episode, fellas. A truck is a ute. And it is, it's just immensely popular in Australia right now. And the resale value, you could have bought one 2 years ago and sold it for profit. Which is everybody not normal with vehicles. And it's just whatever. So he drives one and obviously was a convenient target for break-in, and it was unfortunate. But that was the only bummer of the night. It took 20 minutes out of my story. Thank you, gentlemen. And it was a fun show.
Hell yeah. I'm going to ask you some questions so that when me and Tom tell our New York show story, you can ask questions in a similar or completely different vein. Are you ready?
I think we're Wikipedia or like talking to Eric while we're talking.
I know. It's okay. Are you ready?
What vehicle did you take to the show?
Patrick, did you talk to more or less than 10 people at the show?
Just under.
Okay. How close to the stage were you when Drain played?
12 feet.
How close to you to the stage were you when Anxious played?
9 feet.
Did you talk to every member of the band Anxious?
Yes, I did. No, missed Grady. No, did I say hello to Grady? I think I got everybody.
Damn, man.
I did. I said hello to Grady. Got everybody.
Damn. Is he the member of Anxious you talk to the least?
Yeah, he's kind of
he's like an enigma to you, right?
He's a quiet, sensitive soul sort of fellow.
Okay. Did you eat food before or after the show?
Man, this is probing. Before. The show ended at 11. I was
Hungry Jack's or what did you vehicle. Do?
Not Hungry Jack's. No, actually, that's not true. I had the Hungry Jack's vegan, Christ. And I had two sushi rolls of, I think they were avocado pumpkin.
Yeah, Hungry Jack's sushi, of course. Keep going.
No. So everybody, because Bob is making me go into the most mundane aspects of my life, I bought two sushi rolls thinking, okay, this will be a nice dinner. And then I had a weird panic moment where I said, that's not enough dinner. And I stopped and I got a disgusting fucking, by the way, everybody, Hungry Jack's is what they call Burger King in the United States. And
we all know.
Okay. And so I had
you rule.
I had a vegan Burger King item, whatever the fuck that was, and two sushi rolls. So I went to the show very fat and fell asleep in the vehicle.
Yeah, my stomach's bubbling right now hearing that. Jesus.
Did you fall asleep in the car, did you say?
Yeah, I was nodding off like I had a drug problem in the car. Because, listen, 11 o'clock after eating, I mean, I had a soda. Come on, brother.
Wow.
But the fact that you were in a car – with your current partners. Vehicle.
Yes.
With your, right, your current partner's ex-husband?
Father of a child.
Father of a child, sorry. You could erase that. My apologies. No, but that, like, you fell asleep in the passenger seat, and like he almost had to like carry you into your home. Like I'm getting like that embarrassment you get like when Jack Tripper like on Three's Company is going to get embarrassed. Like that's what I feel like, this like embarrassment.
Oh my God. Listen,
you know, in a lot of ways, Patrick's just like Jack Tripper.
I'm the Jack Tripper. Really is, of music. Yeah, I say it all the time.
It's the Jack Tripper of 2000s.
So, no, listen,
come and knock on my door.
Wake you up.
How
did you wake up?
A soda will get you. I don't know how you guys do, but the fucking soda's knocking me out if I have a soda.
So do you have to wake you up like, hey, Pat? Yeah, Pat.
No, hey, mate,
we're home.
No. Christ. I was just nodding off like if I had been driving, it would be a danger. But
like a bad passenger, bad co-pilot.
And how far were you from? How long was the drive in a motorized vehicle from your homestead to the venue where the concert was being presented?
26 and a half minutes.
You fell asleep a couple times in 26 minutes.
Yeah.
At 11
the nod, like he had the nod, you know what I mean? The like
my head,
right.
My head did the thing.
If you had to guess, how many people were at the show?
Oh, I don't know. It was packed.
Okay,
it's not a huge room, but like maybe 300.
Okay. Sick. Did you talk to any locals at the show other than your buddy who you went to the show with?
Yeah, yeah, I did.
Have you started to build some show friends in Perth?
Yeah, there's a number of people that say what's up to whenever I'm there. There's a fellow that he's an Englishman and he disparages the United States and it makes me jump out and I have to defend the United States, a thing that I don't even do in my private life. But you know how it is when somebody's shitting on something and you're like, brother, that's my job. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, like that's my brother and sister. I can make fun
of. Yeah, exactly.
If the British weren't responsible for stuff that happens, man,
yeah,
you'd really have something to go against them with, you know.
I do love Englishmen. Just work that more into the vernacular. I'd like to hear it at least two more times in the next 10 X-Grind episodes. If you can work that in, that's a good Easter egg. And let's see, any other questions? Oh, did you see any wildlife on the drive?
No, I did not.
Have you ever seen a cassowary in the wild?
No, I have not.
Okay. All right. We're good. Tom, let's talk about the New York show. We went and saw Side by Side.
Shows on Saturday.
I went to two. I only went to one.
There were four altogether in New York within probably a mile and a half range of each other.
Right.
Starting at 1 o'clock.
Ugh.
And ending at like 3 a.m.
At the matinee. Yeah. All right. So talk about the ones you went to. What's the first one you went to?
The first one I went to was Skinhead at the Kingsland.
How was Skinhead?
A lot of fun. They were great. A lot of people. It was packed, sold out. Kingsland was, you know, I got as far as like the bathrooms and I watched from the outside hall. That was them, Colin of Arabia, Think I Care, and The Stress.
Okay. True.
So I was mobbed. It was awesome. Then after that, I didn't go to this, but it was Sick of It All, Sub-Zero, Mafa, a few other bands at the Meadows in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Then there was a show that we attended we can go back to. And then there was the band Shit.
Yep.
And Aaron Melnick from Integrity has a new band.
The Final Agony. Final Agony.
They played.
Yep. People said it was glorious. Yep.
Yeah. So.
And was that the same show as the Poison Ruin show?
That was the same show.
Yeah. So in Poison Ruin. I was very sad not to go to that show. People who haven't checked out the Final Agony stuff, Aaron Melnick is in that band. That's like the headliner, so to say. But overall, just a very good band. People should definitely check that out. If you know what the name Aaron Melnick is, and that makes you go, oh, yeah, he's done stuff I like, well, you should listen to Final Agony. You'll probably like it, unless you're just like a diehard Darvasets fan or something like that. Maybe this one's a little different. But
it was their first show.
Hell yeah. Very cool. And then there was a show that we both attended, which was the Side by Side reunion show.
Correct.
So other bands who played, who I have to apologize, I missed everyone except Shit. So I missed Firewalker. I missed Dead Last.
And Brain Tourniquet.
And Brain Tourniquet, who I was very sad to miss. Their LP this year was awesome, awesome, awesome. And I walked in and saw Shit and thought it was really good. Now I saw Spoiler playing guitar, and let me just, my family was all sick. Patrick, you might sympathize with this a bit. And Tom, you know, you remember this from a time of being young with family members, and you have two sisters, if I'm correct?
Three.
So you really know this.
Yes.
I think basically my whole family was sick. I was not really, but wasn't feeling 100% either, you know, but, as I left my house on Saturday evening, my son had some kind of stomach bug. My daughter had run headfirst into a counter, and my partner was not in a good way either. She hadn't been feeling good for days. So, as I was like, all right, got to go to the show. See ya. I did feel some pangs of guilt. So I wasn't really in a much of a, like, let me just be social and hang. So I kept a low profile going in, but I looked up and saw a band playing good, fast, hardcore punk. I see Spoiler, playing guitar, and I'm like, wait, is this Stigmatism? No, is it? And I was like, wait. And then later, Scanlan, shout out, corrected me. He's like, oh, that was Shit. Yeah, Spoiler was playing with them. I was like, oh, okay, good, good, good. Okay. So in a true, like, my brain is melting out my ear way, I was incorrect about that. But overall, the main attraction was Side by Side, who is their first show in the U.S. They had played a show in Holland, but I guess it was their first show in the U.S. in more than 35 years. I guess 35 yeah. years. So that's pretty wild. And they sounded great.
I thought they were awesome.
Yeah. So here's the deal. And I would say it was about a 25 minute set. We got about 20 minutes of Jules talking in between, which I really appreciated and I enjoyed. And he's a funny dude. He's a smart dude. I thought he had some insightful things to say. And he, I want both your opinions on this. Do you like to hear opinions on a thing that you're in from the outside? Because to me, it's a true pleasure. Like, I love it.
Yeah, it's fun.
And I think Jules copped to that. He basically said, hey, yo, you know what? Like, no fooling anyone. I haven't been around for a long time. And, you know, I did the Lone and Crowd thing and kind of wanted to see what was going on. And if you ask him privately, he'll tell you, like, a lot of it's really cool. And I think he would also say, like, he's been pleasantly surprised by how many people actually cared about the projects he did so long ago. And, you know, he's overall, like, thinks hardcore is a very cool thing. So that's cool. But he had some interesting commentary from the outside looking in on a thing that I thought was good. I thought was valuable for people to hear, too, to be honest.
People take it a certain way because, you know.
People right. always well, will. People. You can rely on them.
Yeah.
I mean, he was saying, like, I'm like, watch this video. And it was like, this guy's got like these, like, people lined up against a wall and he's just punching them one after another.
Yeah.
Is that how you guys dance in 2023? And I was like, oh, yeah. I mean, that dude's been, you know, like, there was no karate kicking in 1988.
No.
There was nothing.
No, this is a dude who was, you know, seeing the Cro-Mags in 86 and stuff like that, you know, and,
right. Everyone
was old New York. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Truly old New York. You know, it's interesting. He might have kind of exited stage right before even the Where the Wild Things Are comp style of dancing came around. You know, like, I'm sure he saw Breakdown. I'm sure of it. He might have seen Raw Deal. I'm sure he was aware of it. You know what I mean? But like, yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But that's right. But there's a lot that I think he just missed that would have really thrown his worldview a little sideways. But overall, like, here's the review. They were really good. They had good energy, played yep. well. I'll be very honest. It was an interesting mix at the show because I said to Tom, I looked at him and I said, how's it feel for us to be in the younger to middle age of attendees? Friend of the podcast who has his own podcast. What's his name? Eric Wilson. Podcast Worst Possible Timeline. worstpossibletimeline.com/fanpage. Check him out. Eric Wilson.
Can, Geocities.com.
Yep. Yep. He was like a newborn baby at the show. So young.
You cut the cord yet.
So shout out. If you're within the sound of my voice and you have somehow never heard the side-by-side 7-inch, and you like fast hardcore, or you like 80s hardcore, or you like New York hardcore, you like Breakdown, you like Raw Deal, you like Killing Time, you like Youth of Today, you like early 80s hardcore, you like Antidote, you like Urban Waste, side-by-side will scratch an itch. And they work great. And it was, other than age, and I don't want to sound like an ageist here, cool show, good attendance.
Patrick, I mean, if you close your eyes,
yeah, I'm closing them.
You would know. You would think like, did someone put a video side by side from like CB's up? Like they sounded exactly like they you would expect them to sound.
I got to give Jules a lot of credit for a dude who has not who did the Lona Crowd reunion several years ago now, and did this. This is now the second of two side by side shows in 30 something years. Yeah, that is impressive. Like, Patrick, if you stopped singing today and didn't pick up a microphone for 35 years and went and did a drug church set, how do you think you'd fare?
How would you do in 2058, Pat?
It's going to be rough regardless. I can do it the day before. It'll be rough regardless.
I think this one's called Weed Pen.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember when people used to smoke weed and not just have it plugged into their fucking cerebral cortex?
The brain circuit. Let me get that brain circuit. Weed pen. It's vegan still. God, Patrick, you know what? I just want to take a quick pause. It gives me a lot of comfort to think that in 2058, you'll still be vegan. And that's really nice.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll be dead in 2058, won't I?
And you'll be 83. No.
It's 35 80? Years from now. So you'll probably be like... let's see, like 49.
Okay, I'll make it then. Something.
You're all right. Yeah, you're in livable range at that point.
Right, you'll be vegan by just because you'll have to be because there'll be nothing else living on Earth.
Yeah, that's true.
Vegan through death. That'll be on the tombstone, right?
Yeah. Can I? You guys want to get deep into something, or do we?
You're not going to ask us any questions about the show?
Yeah, you can ask some questions about the show.
Thanks, man.
Come on, let's see. Bob. You gotta give us some questions. Come
it's
on.
Like training. We're trying to train him into being like a real human.
All right, Tom. Somebody that attended your show with Silent Majority the other day,
yes.
Who had not been to a show in probably 20 years, or if they had, they've been there in like the capacity of showing up. For just check out a friend's thing or something.
Wait, real quick. Was this your French friend?
This was not my French friend. Thank you.
So with Pierre, he brought the video. He brought the home video.
Yeah, he just couldn't find you. So I just wanted to say because I really love Silent Majority, but I don't owe them anything. He said that you guys smoked Silent Majority. So take that for whatever it's
worth. Wow. Well, thanks.
Yeah,
it was a great show.
I wasn't there. I can't confirm.
You know. I was.
But he has no skin in the game is what I – like he grew up with all of these dudes. Like he is a Long Island guy, knows everybody, if not by if he doesn't know them on a hello, he knows them on a – oh, yep, there he is. But he said you smoked him. Anyway.
I think I know who you're talking about now.
Regarding the show that you guys attended – I don't have very many questions. I'm not a side-by-side guy. I would have liked to have been there because obviously it's a little bit of history there.
But Bob didn't ask you any real questions about the
band. Okay. All right, hold on. Let me go with the inane questions. Hold on. All right. Did you get a haircut in the 3 days previous to go into the fucking show?
Oh, that's a good question.
Is that a good question?
4 days prior, I did actually, like 4 days exactly, which is really funny.
Okay, right outside the window. Sorry,
Friday. Yeah, because I had the day I was solo, so I went and got my haircut. Yeah, it was pretty good. The woman did the fade in a weird way, where she started from the top down, and I hated it. It was, and it took so long, and she missed spots, and I had to do the thing like, oh, could you do this part a little tighter? Where it was just like, what I meant to say was, you missed a giant patch of hair here. Can you shave that down too?
Yeah.
You don't have a regular?
No, man. I just go to sports clubs and whoever's there cuts my hair.
I was going to jokingly say sports clips, and I didn't think that was actually true.
No, it's fine.
I would think you have like a barber that you go to.
No. The last barber I had was in Latham, New York.
Wow.
The 80s.
I had my girl cut my hair the other day, trim me up, and somehow I'm longer on the sides than I am on top, and it's not a great look.
I think you must have done something wrong at that point.
Firstly, she said, a number one? And I said, I guess. I don't know. And then now I'm bald again. So,
interesting. You might be a two, man. I go skin. They started doing skin fades, which is really nice. But honestly, if you do skin and you do the fade in, I'm already up to like one or more on the sides of my head. If only the hair on the top of my head grew that fucking voraciously.
No.
All right. So yes, that answers the haircut question. Tom's hair looked really good at the show. Actually,
it often does. Yeah.
Thanks. I have a person I go to.
Fantastic Sam or Sport.
No,
Clips.
But did I ever tell you guys a story about my barber?
Before you start, Tom, I'm going to ask you a question about that barber.
Please.
In New York fashion, do you refer to him by his ethnicity?
No, because they're a non-binary person.
So people that don't know.
How am I supposed to say that? Like, what am I going to be like?
The non-binary, I guess you can't say fella.
No.
Yeah, that's tough. Because, okay, everybody who doesn't know what I'm talking about, when you live in New York.
Like the Italian guy.
Yeah.
You got an Italian barber. I had an Italian barber growing up.
You say, I'm going to my Puerto Rican guy. You know what I mean? Or if you're really New Yorker, you say Spanish guy, right? You go, I go to the Spanish.
Sure, everyone's Spanish, no matter where you're from.
Right. You go, everybody's Spanish in New York. So you say, oh, I'm going to the Spanish guy on 112th or whatever. And then when we lived in Bay Ridge, I had my Arab guy. You know what I mean? I'm going to the Arab guy. You know what I mean? So a very common thing in New York. And I was wondering yours, a non-binary puts you in a position because you can't say, guy is uncomfortable if you say non-binary guy, right?
Correct.
So
that's when you say person.
Yeah. Yeah. But that doesn't roll off the tongue very well.
Oh, no. And they, like, they have a mirror, you know, like when they show you the back of your head with the mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's got a closed casket sticker on it.
Okay.
Oh, see, shout out closedcasketactivities.com.
Yeah. I'm like, funny story. And they're like, you know, oh, I'm going to see Fit for an Autopsy. I was like, it's my boy, Fat Pat. Like, it's just like, and they thought that the singer from Nothing was a woman.
Oh, interesting. Oh, because of the cover.
Because of the cover.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think Nikki sounds like, but whatever. So I had to break it to them that they were not the cover is not the person who sings in the band. And then we were talking about something. I was going to some show or something, and they didn't know who. When I said Newfound Glory, they did. They're like, "What's that?"
Oh, see, that's interesting.
I just wanted to get into like a coffin.
It's an oi thing. You wouldn't understand.
Like when they found out I was into hardcore, like they, like the person who cuts my hair and this other barber. So like anytime I would go in, they're like, Turnstile, right? And I go, oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Like, let's talk about Turnstile. Like they want to talk about Turnstile all the time.
Okay. Okay.
Which is cool. You know, but they're like, you know, what else do you like? And I'm like, where are we going? Like, I don't know. Like, you know, very sweet. They're very sweet. They give me a good haircut every time. We talk about movies. I try to tell them to go see these certain horror movies. They only listen. They were watching. I think they watch a lot of stuff that Pat would probably watch, like a lot of Japanimation.
Japanimation, like, holy shit!
I go, I got nothing.
Between this like, and Three's Company reference, Tom took a fucking time machine.
Well, I mean, that's what they were watching. It's like it's on Crunchyroll.
It's called anime.
Is Japanimation, is that racist?
Not at all. It's just from 1983.
That was probably the last time I read a comic book, man. Play sports.
All right, listen, I'm letting you live. It's just a dated term. It's not racist at all. It's just a dated term.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listenersurvey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
So yeah,
this is not a racist term. It's just Japanimation.
Yeah. So I go to them every time. Very nice. They're very nice. And now I get the homie discount. It's cool.
That is cool.
Hell yeah. Shout out. Patrick, more questions. Let's go.
Okay. Have you, in the week prior to the show, did you use a utility knife for any reason?
What are we talking in terms of utility knife? Like, would a box cutter count?
Box cutter counts.
I use a box cutter every single day of my life.
Well, I got my answer then.
I buy a lot of records, so yes.
I wish I had one right now. I took the microphone. I wish we were on Zoom. I have the microphone stand. I took another microphone stand and I unscrewed the mic holder and I'm currently trying to use the top of it to pop open a box right now. It's very difficult. But anyways, I wish I had utility knife.
Okay. Related, do you guys recognize the weird satisfaction that comes with doing pick and pull?
Order fulfillment? Yes.
No. Pelican box style organization.
What's a Pelican box?
What are you saying?
Pelican cases are those plastic cases that people pay like $250 for to lug around equipment.
Like toolboxes?
No, look up Pelican case real quick. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Is this like a musician thing? What are we talking about? Pelican case.
You're going to immediately understand.
Shop Pelican cases. Yeah. I'm getting there.
When you open those up.
Oh, yeah. These are cool. Yeah, these are cool.
So when you open those up, there's a type of foam that's called pick and pull foam.
Yeah,
that you then create shapes that you then put items of that shape in there, right? And
yeah, that's cool.
I'm trying to stay organized on my next tour because I'm going away for fucking 2 months. So I got myself a bootleg Pelican case and I found the joy of organizing the thing. It reminds me of when you used to organize CDs or records, you know, and you take like an afternoon to do it.
Or like the Darth Vader head where you used to put all the dolls in. Yeah, exactly.
1983.
All the dolls with the Japanimation.
Jack Tripper on this TV. Things are sweet. So did you already do this, Patrick, or are you getting ready to?
No, I did it, and I found it to be like such a relaxing afternoon.
Now, have you seen there is a – oh, they're using it for orders and like fulfillment kind of stuff for fragile items. There's a new type of – basically, it's like a foam kind of thing that's super inexpensive. I think it's a shake-up. You take a small like plastic thing or something and you fill it up. I believe it's biodegradable too, which is the whole rub of the thing. You put your item on it and it fits to shape like perfectly. Mm. And it seems really cool. And I kind of want to play with that, but that it's similar vibe. This is fun. Okay. Pelican case. So you got yourself one of these. Look at you, splurger.
No, I got the one from the hardware store that cost $35 versus $250.
They call it the pigeon box. Okay.
So, last question. Yep. Are you guys aware of any rumblings about reunions?
Oh, we call him Mr. Segway, and it's not because he wears a helmet on the street. Let's go. Tom, what are you hearing on the streets?
Well, there are two rumblings.
Let's go.
All right, so the first one was the internet was ablaze when the official Instagram of Inside Out California posted something that said, "What lineup for 2024?" And everyone's like, it's like that, like the Office meme where like Michael Scott is just running around saying it's happening. And then people were like, some people were like, oh my God. And other nerds like us were like, well, do you think it'll be, Alex and, like trying to really figure out who would actually be in the family.
So
is Sterling coming back or is it going to be Vic or, But that's the but that they posted that. So anyone who, you know, had any kind of, you know, contact with anyone from Revelation or whatever would be like, there's no way that's happening.
So do we go full seventh seal here? And, you know, Patrick, get me my like sickle and robe, because I feel like I'm going to be killing a lot of dreams.
Yeah, sure.
What's that game, the tabletop game you guys bring up that now that PlayStation 5 has?
Baldur's Gate? I don't know.
What no, it's a one word thing that you guys brought up like years ago. People made fun of me for not knowing it. I'm like, I went outside, man.
Not.
It's like Arkham or something, like some one word.
Oh,
there's people yelling at the at
Patrick. Their, what is a one word tabletop game?
I don't know.
Warhammer? Oh, Warhammer?
Catan?
No.
It's not Catan.
Yes, Catan. Catan.
Oh, okay. They have it for PS5? That's yes. Cool. All right. Tom, if you DL it for a PS5, I'll get my PS5 set up and we'll play.
It's only $60.99.
Honestly, it's a bargain at any price. The hours of entertainment from the Settlers of Catan. Shout out to the expansion editions. This Inside Out reunion, it will never happen with Zach De La Rocha. Full stop. That's all. Like, just so people know. Like, I say will never happen. There are moments of weakness where maybe, and weakness is the wrong word, moments of charity, moments of, you know what, let me do this. But even that, I would say, is unlikely. But sources close to the fount on that are that there's no chance that happens with Zach singing. And
well, think about it.
Yeah.
But I mean, like what we were saying, they're like, you know, of course, they're one of the last, you know, white whales of bands that have not reunited. The other bands that have reunited for, like, were either for financial reasons for themselves or for a benefit for somebody. There's nothing monetarily that relates to money that that dude will ever need to worry about. So like him, instead of him practicing for 6 months to play with Inside Out, he could be like, let me just cut you a check for whatever you need.
Facts.
Right?
Facts. That's true.
So I was saying, like, you know what I mean? Like, any like, I mean, Ian MacKay's almost to that level too. He's probably not as rich as Zach, but like, unless that dude really was just like, yo, I just want to play a fucking small show.
Yeah.
Like that dude turns down like Rage Against the Machine money.
And like, here's the thing I want to bring up, and it's it's kind of I think that all makes exact sense, and it plays a large role. Let's subtract money from the equation because it's truly not a thing. Patrick,
I'm here.
What would need to happen for you to play songs off of Disappear Here by end of year?
$200,000.
Let's say that money wasn't on the table.
Oh,
what could
motivate that?
Like Eric's being held hostage by
an end of year super fan, right, 2004 end of year super fan.
So I don't have Zach money. So
no. The money would be good. Yeah,
get out of here.
I
haven't. It was
the next drug church LP out yet
for a while, but he pulled ahead. He made some good real estate investments. I think he's a landlord, and I couldn't keep up.
MFR is definitely a landlord. He has such landlord energy.
Hold on. Our listeners probably understand this, but maybe not all of them. Hey, everybody. Anytime you see a person who's comfortable in their own skin, who looks like they're comfortable with the future and not full of anxiety about their medical or dental shit, it's likely that they are a landlord. I know that in hardcore and punk, we pretend that I just want to make it clear. A lot of touring musicians are landlords. Boom. Boom. I just dropped the fucking
bomb. Wow. Look at him.
Boom. A lot of touring musicians are landlords, particularly once they get past a certain place, because it's just so you all understand, it's an fucking investment. And which is what people who want futures do. So you can bemoan the fact that you have to put money into solid investments like real estate instead of spending it on I don't know fucking whatever patches for your fucking your back. But it is just a fact, and you should deal with reality that probably people, probably some of the musicians that if you don't look up to, you at least respect, are low key landlords. Thank you very much. So Zach pulled ahead through good land deals. Meanwhile, everything
you were stuck apart with bad land deals.
Yeah, and everything fell apart for me in the crypto collapse.
Too many above ground pools. It's a bad deal.
So I don't have it like that. So if somebody from that iteration of the band came to me and said, my child has an advanced thing, I just every 10,000 that we can make would help the quality of my child's life or to be whatever. Because I'll be honest, if it was just them, if somebody came to me and was like, I'm sick,
rough break.
Yeah, I'd say better stay inside then, huh? You know what I mean? But if I, obviously a child, I can't say no to somebody with a child. So that would be
the soft point. Heart and old age. There we go. So somebody just needs to hit a child with a car, and you can get those songs.
That's
but
right.
That's what I mean.
Or a dog.
Yeah.
That's true. That is what I mean. Is just in general, ugly, tragic circumstances are what would compel many to revisit musical material that is from a very different time, place, and who knows how Zach looks back and feels about the Inside Out material. I think of it as high watermark musical achievement of his life. I doubt he feels the same. That's not to say he thinks it's shit.
Thinks I'm like, yeah.
But he might. He might be like, you know, I was 18. I couldn't even rhyme yet, man, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Patrick, if Inside Out with Zach tickets went for sale, would you think about clicking buy it now?
Where's it taking place?
Garden Grove.
The Olympic Auditorium.
Oh.
L.A.
So
in L.A. or Orange County. Yeah, has to be.
Oh, so not my living room? No.
Nope.
Bob, do you fly across the country for that?
Yeah, I would, but partially because I really like Southern California. Like, it's not like if they were playing Ypsilanti, and no diss to Michigan. I like Michigan. Well, let's say they were playing Colorado Springs, a state I have a great affinity for. It's a lot easier click by. I'll just say that. Playing Southern California, I'm like, cool. I get to eat good food, jump the Pacific Ocean. You know, like it's, I got to be honest. Anybody's thinking about going to Sound and Fury, just go to Sound and Fury. You'll enjoy it. There's good bands who play. And by the way, you're in LA. It's going to be a good time.
Everything else is awesome too.
Yeah, there's a million other cool things happening. So anyways, I am. Even if it's a secondary B market, it's nice. Oh, nice. Very cool. Grady says hello. Australia's been a dream. Okay, reunion. So debunking the Inside Out reunion, that's done. That's sorry, it's not happening. If you want to see Inside Out,
it's not with Zach.
Yeah, maybe you want to see them with another dude from Orange County singing. Maybe that you just like the music that much.
Maybe the guy from Downset.
Wow. Listen,
wouldn't that be a turn?
I think there's better odds of this happening than you guys do.
You know a guy?
I don't know anybody. I try not to,
Is this just your like feeling, or you're like, I talked to the guy who owns
forum. I used a divining rod. No. So
is that in Catan too, you fucking dork?
Here's what I think. I think that there's a lot of people who are happy to leave the past in the past. And then there's other people who look at things and go, you know what? That was really fun. It would make a lot of people happy. And this is the only window in which to do it. And both perspectives are completely valid. I fall into the let the past be the past. I'm on to the next thing sort of thing. But clearly there's nothing wrong with
very 25 life, yeah.
Nothing wrong.
You're a real like what's that? Last Jedi kind of guy, right?
Yeah, I'm Adam.
You're Ryan Johnson, right?
Yeah,
you're
in Ryan Johnson. So I just think that you know, that happens, and that I could see it happening. We look at Zach as a guy that, because he's got money, he wouldn't want to spend the equivalent of, I don't know, three practices and a night doing something that he thinks is really fun. It could happen. I don't see it.
You're totally right. A dude who's not gone to a hardcore show in 35 years is probably like, damn, you know what? It's really fun. Hardcore shows. Hell yeah.
That's who thinks hardcore is fun. that's who is most apt to go, yeah, that looks lit.
Yo, not wrong. A wise man once said to me, man, I just like singing. I'll sing on anything. So who knows? Maybe Zach goes with those words.
Yeah.
Who knows?
And the other.
The other.
So this is – all right. So it's finally gotten hardcore, because I feel like in wrestling and in other sorts of music, people would be like, did you see Offset, you know, unfollowed Cardi B?
Yes.
You know, Sasha Banks no longer follows the WWE on Instagram. Like, they kind of, like, everyone reads into something.
Mm.
Well, a friend of ours, a beloved friend of the three of us, decided to change the account name for his account on Instagram. And it brought up a lot of other questions. The Patrick Flynn Instagram became a Have Heart Instagram. And people are assuming whatever they may assume. I know Bob's here. He's got some debunking. Oh, Bob's going to be the Grinch.
Yeah, give me the scythe. Have Heart, Boston Straight Edge, established 2002. Band archive page. Yep. That sounds right. Yeah, band archive page. You know, I've had this happen, and I think that both of you can kind of feel it. I've had a lot of friends who, over the past year, 2 years, whatever, and I don't think it's necessarily like that it's just started happening more. I think it's people hit an age, or they just hit a threshold of interest, where they go, you know what? This insert social media type here, this thing, it's not doing me what I'd like it to be doing for me. I don't look at it like I do. When I do, I'm irritated. Eh. You know what? Let me convert this into X function. Let me close my account. Let me do whatever. I've actually seen this exact thing happen with a couple other friends who turned it into like, oh yeah, it was my personal thing. Then it was a zine thing, and then it just became my archive for my zine thing. Oh, it was a personal account. Then I turned it into my record collecting account. It's have you guys felt that when a social media platform no longer suits you and you're just like, what the hell do I do on this thing now if I'm going to check it once a month or once every couple weeks, as opposed to, oh yeah, I'm hitting refresh three times a day.
Yeah, I feel bad. I haven't been on Instagram in forever, and I'm sure that there's messages like piling that people are, you know.
Yeah, there are.
People that I know and like are like messaging me, and I'm like, oh, listen, if I open it, then I got to fucking look at all the messages, and I just don't want to do it.
Well, the smartest people I know, a dude who worked on his hands and doing manual labor, said, you know what? Don't go on Instagram in the morning. Go to work. Get started doing whatever you're doing. When you're done, end of the day, before you're eating dinner, maybe after dinner, go ahead, open that thing up. You'll flip through, and you'll probably not be that interested in close it up because you did a lot in that day.
Mm.
And even if you didn't, you got a few minutes. Okay, kill a little time, rinse, repeat. You have a much healthier relationship with whatever that social media platform is. That's what I recommend to anyone who noticed that someone changed their personal Instagram to a band archive page and got all a flutter. It's all good. It's all good. I tell you what, it's all good.
Cardi B unfollowed Offset.
People, I mean, there's some people that really look at that shit and know, like, I mean, we'll notice when you unfollow like Eric Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
I don't pay attention. I do not pay attention to this shit at all. No. You know, obviously when you're a single guy, you probably notice the signaling that people do online. Like, oh, that dude is single now.
Or, sure.
Oh, you can see that shit coming from a mile away though.
Yeah. Or she's on the market because,
just not posting photos.
Yeah. You notice that shit. But now I'm at the point where, I mean, I haven't looked at Instagram in fucking forever. So I don't know, but
I'm just so above it. Whatever, man.
No. You ever feel like your brain is inundated? Like there's just too much. Like today I almost tripped over the dog and I had like a stimming moment where I was like I couldn't handle the amount of bullshit that was going on around me. So that's how I feel. Like, oh, there's too much bullshit, man. I'm fucking drowning in bullshit.
Yo, so we're not winding down, but I want to hit something before we do go. People who don't follow Patrick's Substack, is it Substack now?
It is. Yeah.
How do we follow that?
I couldn't tell you.
Oh my God. I'll find it while we're doing this.
What's it called?
I don't know if it's under my name or.
Hold on.
Grandma, come on, dude.
Listen, so I don't. Anyways. Cormac McCarthy wrote on a typewriter. This is the type of reality I'm trying to have. I don't need this shit.
You didn't write the road, man. You're just fucking writing about
comic. Do not siege walled cities. Okay, so you follow this. Let me find it. You follow it by going, if you have Substack, search for it, search for Patrick Kinlan, whatever. Do not siege walled cities. In your most recent edition, you've been quite consistent on it. Good work by you. Our blue collar cosplay continues. You talk about an event that got you real thrown up, and I think it'd be fun to talk about and have Tom, as someone looking in from the outside, talk about it. And also, is this something we can think about and apply into hardcore?
He has no idea what you're talking about.
No, I don't. I'm waiting for
the. Okay, video. You got very upset about comics. There's some bummer talk. The bummer talk was a 50-second clip of a comic shop owner ranting.
Yeah, okay. So,
go in. Give context, please. Tom. This is basically, you're the outsider on this. I think it's actually pretty fascinating.
Wait a minute. Can I interrupt for 1 second?
Please.
Didn't we already talk about this?
No.
A different one.
This is new.
No, you said he looks like the guy from The Simpsons, the comic book owner in The Simpsons.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It is that incident. It is. When did we talk about that?
We did not talk about this. Yeah.
Who am I talking about?
Like, on Patreon? Maybe.
We might have done it on Patreon.
Oh, did you do that and then continue? Well, give the basics because we're mainlining. If we go in further on it.
There's been a little bit more about it. So basically,
yeah, there's some good meat on this bone.
I'll try to keep this interesting. Comic book market is in decline. It's been in decline for a long time. However, there was a spike during COVID. A lot of stores potentially made foolish investments during that time. A lot of publishers made foolish investments during that time because when times are good, you think they're always going to be good. I don't know why that is, but. Now that COVID is over, there's been a speculator bust and sales are just low. They're continuing the track that they were on prior to the pandemic, which is not good. And there's a lot of speculation on why sales are not good. For everything from just an increase in entertainment options to the inaccessibility of comics because they're sold in specialty shops and also price. They're essentially a luxury item at $3.99 average for 22 pages, which is just not economical for the majority of people on Earth. So if you eliminate collectability but then up the price, it's not working. So things are in decline, people speculate, and then there is a video of a guy that does look like the guy from The Simpsons, the comic book guy, saying that a lot of his customers are saying, and he believes that it is because the current crop of creators does not have any reverence for the past, and this reflects in the way that they write characters. The way that they write characters is they insert themselves into the characters rather than telling stories using the characters' established identities. This is an objective truth that this is a thing that happens. It's just a style of writing that is popular at the moment at Marvel and DC. So what he's saying is not untrue. There's no way to say that that's what's driving readers away, but that's his opinion. He's entitled to it. The internet mobbed the dude, calling him an ugly slob who smells like salami, because basically he insulted some of the creators. And then, by saying that this is, they write in a way that is alienating. And then you had aspiring creators who were sucking up to those creators. And then, in a way, he's insulting editors. So if you're really signaling, you went out there and you attacked him so that you would look good to editors and other creators. And it was super ugly, super, super ugly. Because, Tom, you got on me for making fun of a fat kid from 15 years ago. This was like,
you know why? Because I was that fat kid.
this was like the ugliest thing I ever saw, because imagine a bunch of fours jumping on a three and being like, you ugly fuck, nobody could love you. And it's like, yo, you are this is just an ugly hobby, guys. Like, this is it's not for the best looking fellas in the world. What are we doing here? So it got ugly in that respect. And then they assumed this politics, which is just a complete fucking diversionary tactic in 2023. The man said nothing about politics. There's not even really a reason to assume his politics other than the fact that he's a 55-year-old white guy, which I guess you could make some conclusions based on that, but probably not. This is, Bob, where we're just about at. Is there a part of that that you wanted to expand upon?
Well, I thought it was interesting because the idea of it was, this is someone who went on and basically expressed a dissenting view, but not one that many people in their heart of hearts, I think, disagreed with. Now, the reasoning why where they might stand on it. So dude's, you know, thesis, Tom, was, hey, customers aren't buying comic books because the characters in the books aren't who they were or they were supposed to be or they're always supposed to be.
You're changing Batman.
Right. Yeah. Right. Or yes. Right.
Right.
And like, there's some people who are out there saying, yeah, Batman needed to be changed. Now, are these the people buying the new Batman books? Who knows? Maybe not. If they are, great. They're putting they're voting with their dollar. But more likely, people are just not buying these books. But I thought it was interesting because it's this conversation about an audience, some of who want things to stay static and be the thing that it always has been, versus other people who are like, nah, man, fuck you. It's got to be different than it has been. And I thought that was interesting in terms of like looking at hardcore in those lenses where it's like, should hardcore stay static? No, I don't think anyone is really arguing that. But there are things that people get kind of sticky about. And occasionally discourse gets to these weird places when people throw a spotlight on it. You know what I mean? Mm. Where I wonder, is there reasoning? Is there conversation to be had in those places, and how do you do it? Like, Patrick, let's talk about this in a very specific way. What is the actual conversation that is being missed between these people? There's retailer who's mad because people saying, hey, creators, you're not giving the audience what they want and the industry suffering.
The conversation that's not taking place is first an acknowledgement that it's happening on the side of the accused. Sometimes it's fine to say, yeah, I did the thing, but I like it. There's no reason to deny a thing that we all know is happening, right? You can just, once you acknowledge that it's true, you can argue its merits one way or the other. And I think that there's merited arguments for this change in comics. You could say, look, what you were doing before wasn't working. Comics were in decline at that time. We're just trying to reflect the sensibilities of younger people and younger people who are who we think needs to enter the market. That's an argument. What's not an argument is this guy's fat. You know what I mean? It's just not a fucking argument. So
preach. Say it loud for the people in the back.
So I think that first the one side's got to say, yeah, listen, man, that's true, But we have to stick with this. We have to, we're going through a storm right now, but if we maintain the if we maintain course, and we're going to reach that other reader, and comic shop guy can reply back, maybe so, but my shop won't survive to see it. And that's a valid argument, but at least then we have discourse. What's not constructive in any way is saying, I don't do that, but if I did it, it wouldn't matter because you're fat and ugly. That's just not it. So in terms of how this pertains to comics, well, I'm going to say that it's apples and oranges in the respect that hardcore is bigger than it has been in many years. So whatever the kids are doing is working.
And comics are smaller than they have yes. been.
So whatever the kids are doing is working. So somebody that I always reach to, and forgive me, Knocked Loose. I always reach to Knocked Loose because I think that their sound is completely alienating to like our oldest listeners, you know, like I'm using them as the example. So, Knocked Loose is impossible to argue with because Knocked Loose is bringing more people to shows than the like, you know, retro looking demo core act. You know, it's just what it is. So I think it would be foolish of the person that wants an older style of hardcore to deny that. That's that foolishness again, where it's just ad hominem and deflection and it's stupid. So I think that these things are apples and oranges in some respect, but in my view, the most important thing you can do in life is just to own the shit and then go, and I did it because I loved it. Like, and fuck you. And even though fuck you is not very constructive, at least it's an honest play. It's honest ground to start from, you know, like, Hey, I wanted to do metal influenced hardcore because that's what I love. If you don't like it, I respect it, but respectfully suck a dick. I'm going to continue to do the thing that I want. And you can hate it from a distance. It is what it is. Yeah, that's a conversation. You know what I mean? Not a very friendly one, but it's a conversation.
Respectfully,